if we ask the question why the Jewish people are so small in number, we could ask a different question, which I think has very much the same implications. Why is it that Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is where it is? Why did it have to be a land that's chosen at the crossroads of so many civilizations? Why couldn't we pick a land? Why couldn't God choose a land for us that was in the middle of nowhere, that people would just leave us alone? It would not be a land that constantly is in the crosshairs of each and every conflict. They recently did our excavations in Yerushalayim, and they found not one, not five, but tens of civilizations built one upon the other. Why did it have to be that way? Couldn't it have been so much easier if we would have been some tiny nothing of a country nestled in the mountains all by itself? Nobody would have bothered us, and we wouldn't have been bothered at all. Why does it have to be that way? So I'd like to suggest, perhaps similar to yesterday's thought, that perhaps there's two reasons to it. First reason is very much an answer for all of us to understand. God wants everybody to understand that Israel is a unique land, and Israel occupies the space and the thought of so many people. And that is so critical to understanding the land of Israel. Yes, so many cultures have a connection and identification to Israel, and this is not new. When Yahushua came into the land of Israel, 31 kings were there. Asks Chazal, 31 kings. The land is tiny. Can you imagine 31 kingdoms in New Jersey? It doesn't make any sense. But we're told that the reason was every king wanted to have a palace. Every king wanted to have an identification with the land of Israel because the land of Israel was so special. That's really critical. So perhaps the first answer is a very simple one, is to just stress the supremacy of the land of Israel. And then perhaps there's another answer. Perhaps it's to also understand the miraculous nature of the land of Israel. It's a land that somehow remains connected. It's a land that somehow remains a part of the Jewish people, even though it's constantly being attacked and constantly being taken over the course of time by so many different countries, so many different empires, and yet it's Em Habanim Smecha. It's the mother that wants only its children. Yiftechtal is a beautiful, beautiful analogy in his Sefer where he explains why he names the book Em Habanim Smecha. He says that a mother versus a stepmother has a very different relationship with her child. A mother loves her child unconditionally. And therefore, there are times that their children do things that blow their mind. And at times, their children do things that are so infuriating. They just want to scream, but they still love their child. It's not the case with a stepmother. A stepmother will always look at the child and say, yes, maybe I love you, but... And certainly, unconditionally, that's very, very hard and very rare. The land of Israel has a intrinsic connection with the Jewish people. There is a bracha, which at the same time is a klala, is that the land will not produce for anybody but its children. Check out history. Look at what the land of Israel looked like for thousands of years when we weren't there. And yet when we come home, the land is there to greet us in open arms. That is the very beauty of the land of Israel, and that is the very nature of the bracha of it. But again, perhaps that's the reason why the land is the way where it is. It has to be a land that only through miracles is it 100% abundantly clear to all that see. It is through the good graces of God that it remains a land connected to the Jews. Why? Because it's Eretz Asher Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha B'ha. It's a land that constantly the eyes of God are on. Think about that. Think how lucky we are. We have land that God never leaves. We have a land that God's eyes are always staring at. We have a land that God cares about so much. And most of all, He cares that it is our Moresha. Have a good day.